works.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The final hour of the Paracast with Gene and Chris talking to Dennis Balthaser. Dennis, where's your website?
www.truthseeker@roswell. That's all one word, and the word A-T, at truthseeker@roswell.com.
truthseeker@roswell.com. If you click on Dennis Balthaser's name over at theparacast.com, you go there. Magically, we beam you up.
By the way, you guys are doing a really good job when pronouncing Balthaser.
Okay, good. It's important to get the guest name right.
49 years in radio.
Well, I had to carry cards so I know how to spell it.
Well, we have a bunch of questions here, several of which you've already answered. There's a question about Annie Jacobson's new book about Area 51. There's a question about black projects possibly being misidentified as UFOs. I've always said that if I was driving in the desert back in 1980 and a stealth fighter flew over and I had my CD player on, I couldn't hear the jet engines, I would have reported a UFO because they just were very spooky looking. They still are today, spooky looking, but imagine not being aware of their existence and have one fly over you. How many sightings do you think could be attributed to potential black project type craft?
Well, I think there's a lot, particularly in the western United States with White Sands, Area 51, Edwards Air Force Base. We have a lot of room out here to play. You know, we've seen F-16s and F-18s flying down the deck out here in the desert. And there's just a whole lot of room to do what they want to do out here with anything new. And, you know, the B-2 bomber, the old F-117 stealth, which is no longer in service, at certain angles, those things look almost exactly like a UFO. So misinterpreting what is being seen goes back to the 90% that is explainable. And I think a lot of what people see is misidentified. And I think it's probably our own stuff, most of it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with my experience in Colorado, right next to a low-flight military training area. Low altitude training area. Who knows what we have in the pipeline that's, you know, 10, 15, even possibly 20 years away from being disclosed publicly.
That raises the other question about Roswell, Chris and Dennis, and that is, if we recovered an alien aircraft in 1947, and granted we didn't have the technology then to maybe understand what a civilization hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us might do, are there any examples of that alien technology anywhere? And I guess we can set aside Philip Corso, or should we set aside Philip Corso?
I knew Philip Corso. I met him here at Roswell three times. Really liked the guy as a person. Little bitty guy, heck of a personality. I read the book the day after Roswell and couldn't put it down. I went page after page after page. But when you get to the back of the book, there is not one reference. Now, Bill Burns of UFO Magazine wrote part of the book. We don't know how much.
Yeah, we do.
Bill had some ideas that, to me, made a lot of sense. But the fact that he had no references bothered me. And, again, I'm going back to confirmation and validity of this information. So he mentioned microchips as being coming from the Roswell craft, one of the things. Lasers, microchips, night vision, things like that. Well, we know microchips were invented by a guy at Texas Instruments. He got the Nobel Peace Prize for it. So I questioned that. But the way Corso explained it was that he gave that information to industries, and they didn't know where it came from. We were already working on night vision because we had captured night vision from the Germans, the old red night vision. And then all of a sudden we had this green night vision we use today. So I have a lot of questions about Corso's information and whether he wrote it or whether Bill Burns wrote it, I don't know. But
there's a way to find out. Dennis, well, if you go to the Open Minds website, they have made available the original Corso manuscript that I guess Bill Burns then took and put his stamp, a creative stamp on it, and there are quite a bit of differences between the two. I've done a little bit of digging on the Corso story and found that he was not happy with the embellishments that were put into the final published version of the Day After Roswell. So if you're interested in looking and comparing versions, Open Minds has made available the Corso original manuscript. Another thing that you're involved with is your work in Egyptology and the Great Pyramids, and we have a number of questions that talk about your involvement in that type of research. Do you want to give us an overview of how you got involved in investigating these incredible structures? And
John DeSalvo is head of the advisory board of the Great Pyramids of Giza, and apparently he had been on Jeff Rentz's radio show, Sighting from the Radio, and was talking about this, and somehow ETs came up connected to pyramids. And I think Jeff recommended he get a hold of me, and he did, and he said that he'd like for me to join the advisory board. This was several years ago. They consist of about 30 different gentlemen from around the world, from Italy, France, Ukraine. Most of them are Egyptologists and physicists and high-educated people. And then they stuck this old UFO researcher on there also. And I can't rule out the possibility of an ET connection somehow, because I'm convinced that the three pyramids of Giza, and I'm not talking about the other 80 or 90 pyramids in Egypt, but the three in Giza, the big three, and the Sphinx, I'm convinced are much older than the Egyptian civilization.
Why are you convinced of that?
Well, primarily because of the Sphinx and the deterioration on the back of it. The Sphinx was covered in sand up to its neck until the 1800s. So nobody even knew there was a body in the bottom of that Sphinx. And when it was uncovered, it was discovered that there's water damage, erosion on the back, not caused by wind and sand. And there hadn't been that amount of water in that part of the world for 10 or 15,000 years, which predates the Egyptian civilization. Another researcher that I know found evidence of salt water pretty far up on the inside of the pyramid, indicating that there was a tremendous amount of water there at one time. One of our researchers, Stephen Mueller, has done some research and talked to an individual in Egypt who has the history of different civilizations that have lived there, and he talks about an organization or a civilization known as Khemitians, K-H-E-M-I-T-I-A-N, who lived in North Africa about 10,000 years ago. They were a black civilization, primarily controlled by females, and supposedly had contact with star people. Now, I'm not saying that ETs built the pyramids, but I am saying that the technology could have come from there. The theories that the Egyptologists use on how the pyramids were built, they talk about a ramp to take the stones up. We're talking 450 feet in the air. Stones that weigh anywhere from 2 to 17 tons each. I did some calculations on that, and I wrote an editorial. It's on my website in the editorial section. That ramp would have to be a minimum of 1,300 feet long, and every lift that it went up, it would have to be widened at the bottom in order to carry the load to get up. There would be more material in the ramp than there is in the pyramid, and I don't know where they would have got the wood to make the rollers for the carry pulling the stones up on top. The other method of building it is talking about going around the pyramid in a spiral to get to the top. In any case, we're talking very, very large stones. And most Egyptologists say that it took 20 or 30,000 people 20 or 30 years to build.
And I'll tell you what, we can't get 20,000 people these days to do anything for 20 or 30 minutes, but that's another story. Dennis Balthaser joining us. And if you have a comment or a question about the PowerCast, write us. news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. We will read each and every message we get. That's a promise. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Peter Krasnummel from Midas Resources. Today's July 15th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at 1588. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,627.92, $813.96 for a half ounce, and $406.98 for a quarter ounce. $1,627.92, $813.96, and $406.98.
The Constitution and Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore and trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I've teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter ounce pure gold coin. For only $480 plus shipping and handling, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
In fact, these days, getting two people to agree on something is difficult. We have Dennis Balthaser. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So the theory is, Dennis, that 20 or 30,000 people got together for 20 or 30 years to build the Great Pyramid.
No, you're talking 2.5 million stones. At that rate, they would have to set the stone every 90 seconds. And that meant quarrying the stone miles away from where the pyramids are, shaping them, loading them on a barge, bringing them up the Nile River, transporting them across to the site of the pyramids. It's a mathematical impossibility. The other theory that I've heard about was that they filled up each lift with water and sealed it and then lifted it up like a barge. So, you know, we don't know. Here again, just like Roswell, we don't know who built them, when they were built, or how they were built. One of the big stories that we hear is that it was built for Khufu, Pharaoh of the Fourth Dynasty. The only thing they have ever found about Khufu is a 3-inch statue, which is in the Cairo Museum, that is located miles away from where the pyramids are. So if this was built for Khufu, why was there nothing in there for the afterlife like it was for all the other pharaohs? The Arabs were the first to go in the pyramids in 890 A.D., and the only thing they found was an empty coffer, an empty box. They had not found anything for the afterlife, which would have to be there for the pharaoh, as was custom for any pharaoh that was buried back in Egypt. So we have a lot of questions about the pyramids, too.
This leads me to a question from Michael Allen, who's one of our forum posters for about a year. And he quotes you from your website, "Dead pharaohs don't need air, so why were air shafts built in?" And he proposed an answer to that question that you posed.
Okay.
He says, "I propose the air shafts were probably put in for those living, breathing beings who were lowering the bodies into the depths. Would this be an acceptable alternative explanation?" I think you kind of were addressing that.
Well, those air shafts align with certain stars, certain constellations perfectly, as do the three pyramids, who are in alignment the same as Orion's belt in the constellation of Orion. The engineering involved with the building of the pyramids is something that we can't duplicate today. I mentioned earlier that I was involved with building some pretty big bridge structures for the Texas Highway Department. The last job we had was a 1,200-foot span between columns, and we were off by 3 feet when we got to the middle. We cut a piece of steel, dropped it in, and that was it. The pyramids are off a quarter inch on each side. They have not sunk into the earth over 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years. So there has to be some sub-base material there that is capable of handling that weight. And what you see today was not the original pyramid, because the original pyramids were covered with polished limestone, which, when the sun reflected off them, were visible from the moon. Most of the researchers I've dealt with believe that the pyramids were built as energy machines and not to be used as pharaoh's burial places.
I have another question about your interest in Egyptology from Zylo, who's been who's a longtime poster here at forum.theparacast.com. Regarding your research into the pyramids and Egyptology in general, Dennis, what does the fall of the government of Egypt do to the research that is taking place now? Also, with the resignation of Hiawatha, will this allow research to continue in the same vein that it has been continuing? Or is there hope to further research and explore new areas without worry of interference, or I would add, towing the conventional line that Hiawatha has maintained all through the decades that he's been involved there? So what is the state of Egyptology now with the new Egyptian government and Hiawatha getting potentially busted for antiquities violations and whatnot?
Well, the name Hiawatha makes me sick to my stomach, for one thing. You have to understand that tourism is big business in Egypt. And for someone like me or someone on our board to come out and say that the three pyramids of Egypt on Giza probably were not Egyptian, it's not going to sell well because of tourism. Hiawatha just recently appointed himself to a lifelong position. He's head of antiquities, and I will not watch a show that has Hiawatha on it because I don't believe a word the guy says. I think he's on the take for the tourism industry. He has been on just nearly every Egyptian documentary that's been made But I think, I understand that now they are charging a tremendous amount to be able to go in the pyramid. I think the Sphinx has got a fence around it where you can't get up real close to it anymore. So the tourism industry is pretty much taking it over. There was a time not too long ago when we wanted to get into the paw of the Sphinx because there's a void in there. We know we did some ground-penetrating radar, and we found a void inside there, and we believe that there may be information on how the pyramids were built or about Atlantis inside there, and so far we've not been able to get access in there. Hollis has done a lot to restrict good research as far as the pyramids, and we were hoping that he would retire, and since he hasn't, we don't know what the future holds as far as trying to get more information.
Okay, well, just another Roswell question that I missed about it being some super secret terrestrial technology that was covered up. But we've kind of beaten that horse a little bit.
We can't beat those horses. So let's look past, you know, the repetitive Roswell questions.
Well, my question's about, you know, I've always been fascinated, obviously, with the pyramids and other megalithic structures. What are your theories in terms of, could these structures actually be proof in some way, shape, or form of some sort of intervention by technological outsiders, for lack of a better term? I cringe at the extraterrestrial hypothesis, so I tend to try to couch everything in general terms. But do you think with, you know, you mentioned the impossibility of laying, you know, one of these blocks every 90 seconds with the prevailing theory, and the lintel, what is it, I think there's a stone at Baalbek in Lebanon that's so large, I forget how many, it's almost 1,000 tons, if memory serves me correct, that we couldn't even lay today with modern super heavy-duty equipment to lift a stone of that size. How do you think megalithic structures were created? Do you think that they were completely terrestrial in their origin in terms of the technology involved? Or do you think we have yet to discover some sort of knowledge that ancient man had, let's say, to levitate stones, for instance, has, you know, been a prevailing theory? Or do you think that there's some outside influence that has helped us in these constructions?
Well, you got Easter Island, you got the Incas, the Mayans, you got Stonehenge. Those are all structures that were built hundreds or thousands of years ago.
And we'll have to get into more of those mysterious structures, if they are mysterious, with Dennis Spallfaser, progressing beyond Roswell into other interests. But first, a reminder. If you'd like to have your question read to our guests on the Paracast, here's the way we do it. We set up a special place over at forum.theparacast.com. That's the official Paracast community forums, where you can post your messages. The place is called The Question Bank. We'll set up a forum topic or thread when a guest is scheduled, and there you can ask your questions. We'll ask them on the air. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
The Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits. Magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches. First aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the main name in military supply.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrizeKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrizeKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrizeKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrizeKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Bud Hopkins, and you're listening to the PowerCast, and I completely, enthusiastically endorse this program. It's an absolutely great program with an opportunity to stretch out and talk.
So, did E.T. build the Great Pyramid? Ancient civilizations? What about Easter Island? All that other stuff? We have Dennis Balthaser to try to unearth the mysteries and help provide answers. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in the PowerCast. Dennis, let's continue in that vein.
Okay, but if you look at the tools that the Egyptians had, they were copper tools. And there's been attempts to duplicate the building of the pyramids. I know Nova, several years ago, they tried to build a pyramid and use modern-day equipment and couldn't do it. The Ukrainian researcher on our board, Vladimir Krasnolovich, and I love it when I can say that, he has done some work in the Ukraine, former Russian area, with the Russian engineering group, and they have built some pyramids there, and he has discovered that bacteria doesn't grow inside the pyramid, and we've heard the story about razor blades staying sharp for a long time. And there's some form of energy produced by pyramids in general. And Joe Parr spent two nights on top of the Great Pyramid on two different occasions with some equipment and did some testing. And he believes that there's a bubble around the pyramid that coincides with the 11-year sunspot cycle. He is convinced that it was built as an energy machine of some sort. One of the pyramids has got a flat top. It was never finished, and that's where he spent the whole night on two different occasions doing his testing. There's just so much mystery around the pyramids because there's no record. And the Egyptians were good at keeping records of nearly everything, but we've not been able to find any information on how they were built, who built them, and for what purpose. Now, the fact that they had these polished limestone coverings on them, which were all taken off by the Arabs and used to build mosques and temples and stuff like that. There's only one pyramid that still has any, and that's up near the top of it, the second largest one. So, you know, what you see today is not what was there originally. We have to go back past the Egyptian civilization because of the equipment that they had and the technology. They were smart people. There's no doubt about that. But I don't believe that they were the ones that were responsible for building those three. Now, the other pyramids in Egypt are poor replicas. And I think that the three of Giza stand out over those others. And there's probably 80 or 90 other pyramids in Egypt. But I also think there's still a tremendous amount of structures that are below the sand that haven't been discovered yet. So I think in the years to come, I think there'll be more information coming out. Hopefully, we'll finally hear or learn how they were built and who built them.
How would you do that if we had an advanced civilization here on Earth 10,000 years ago, whatever, and for whatever reason that civilization vanished, gone? I mean, consider our civilization 10,000 years from now. Something happened and it all went away right now. Maybe some global catastrophe. Would we have any evidence of anything?
Not at the rate we're going, but here again, you can get into the extraterrestrials, too. If they can get here, you know, our technology has transpired over the last, 100 years, particularly the last 30 years. And, you know, where are we going to be 50 or 100 years from now? So if extraterrestrials were able to get here, their knowledge is possibly thousands of years ahead of us. So there wouldn't be any communication between the two of us because they're just too far advanced for us. And I don't know what we would leave, really. Right now, I don't know anything that really would be worth leaving.
Well, a lot of plastic will be scattered around the environment, that's for sure.
All those iPads and those iPhones, that's aluminum.
Well, you know, there are places on Earth today, in the jungles and stuff, where when people see an airplane, they don't have any idea what it is. It's the first time they ever saw an airplane. If they're exposed to some of the modern technology we have, they have no idea what it is. So, you know, would Columbus have known what an iPod is or anything like that? So I think it's something we have to look at.
Well, isn't that part of the thing that we have trying to understand Roswell? If we have the wreckage and we have evidence of an advanced civilization, what portion of it would we understand? I mean, look at the movie Independence Day. And there's this Area 51 scene. They recover this crashed spaceship back in the late 1940s. And they can't figure out where it is. After all these years, of course, you have the crazy scientist played by the same guy who played Data in Star Trek Next Generation. But the point there is a valid point, which is you can have this thing sitting there, all this evidence of this super advanced technology. How do you get past it?
Well, that's what I said a while ago about, if all we picked up was pieces of a craft, then trying to put that together and make sense of it, I don't think they've done that yet.
Now, you say pieces. Now, wouldn't we assume that most of the craft, whether together or apart, was recovered, or did some of it just disintegrate?
What they claim they found were pieces up to about 3 to 5 feet, most of it small pieces. Now, a few months later, in 1948, there was a crash at Aztec in northern New Mexico with a 99-foot craft pretty much intact, 13 bodies.
Well, wait a minute. Before you go on, Dennis, I mean, where do you fall down on the Aztec crash? There's quite a vocal group out there that believes that the whole thing was a fabricated story and that there was no crash at Aztec. Where do you fall down on that?
Well, I was the same way for years until I met Scott Ramsey and his wife, Suzanne, from North Carolina. And for the last 14, 15 years, he has been going to Air Force archives in Alabama and many other archives, and he is starting to put down what he has found, and he's got a book that will be out probably later this year or early next year.
Now, I want to mention that before we go on, because we've had Scott Ramsey on the show a couple of times. Of course, your friend Frank Warren, and we've talked about the Aztec thing. And the problem I have with it, and a lot of people have, is that we hear about the book, but it's always vaporware, as they say in software. It's promised but never delivered. Is it going to really happen this time?
It's going to happen. He just keeps. I talked to him the other day, and he said he had gone out to California and talked to Silas's granddaughter or somebody and got some more information. He said every time he's ready to complete the book, he's got another chapter or another bunch of information to put in it. So I can't tell you when he's going to come out with it, but I know he is. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I worked with Scott and Suzanne for the last 10, 15 years, I guess, and I was of the opinion that Aztec was nothing. And the more I talked to Scott and to other people, I believe it did happen, and that the craft was taken probably to Colorado on the back roads where nobody knew about it.
So why are so many people dismissive of this case?
Well, because of all the publicity it got when it first was made public, and the fact that these guys were supposedly con artists of some kind. But again, Scott told me the other day that he's pretty well proven that that wasn't the case. I can't give you any details other than what he's told me in emails or on the phone. But I'm looking forward to seeing the book and seeing what he has to say.
Well, we all are looking forward to it. I've told Scott a couple of times that we'll be happy to have him back on the Paracast when the book about Aztec comes out. And we want to also have him debate a skeptic, something like Kevin Randall.
Mm-hmm.
A reasoned discussion, pro and con, once the book is out. Give everyone a chance to have their questions answered on the Paracast. We'll have our listeners list the questions. So we'll look forward to seeing the book, Scott Ramsey, about Aztec, supposedly coming out late this year or early 2012. Maybe it's too late in 2012. We won't be around to worry about it, will we?
Well, you know, he's got he's under the same impression I am as far as his research. He's turning down many, many opportunities to speak. Scott and I were involved, in fact, helped get the Aztec Festival or conference going when it first started back in 97, 98, somewhere back then, and had built it up to be a pretty good conference and had a bunch of good speakers come in every year who didn't have a whole lot of the woo-woos.
Well, they sure do now.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of woo-woos and not-so-woo-woo. Is that a phrase or is that a proper description?
Not-so-woo-woo. Sounds like a foreign language, Gene.
Not-so-woo-woo. Dennis Balthaser. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You've heard great things about Berkey. You've been thinking of getting a Berkey water purification system, but for some reason, you haven't made your purchase just yet. Okay, here's one more reason to buy the best water purification system you can buy now. The Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com is giving away free Pelican flashlights. Yes, with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system from the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com, you'll receive a free Pelican 2360 LED flashlight, a $39 value. But it won't last long. This offer ends today. Hurry, call 877-886-3653, 877-886-3653, or shop online at GoBerkey.com. That's Go, BERKEY.com. No coupon code necessary. A free Pelican flashlight is yours with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system only at GoBerkey.com or by calling 877-886-3653. Hurry, offer ends today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
That is Chris O'Brien's not-so-woo-woo voice. He's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg, the host. Our guest is Dennis Balthaser from One More Time on the Paracast, and we are taking a brief excursion into Aztec territory. It's controversial, and people who even accept Roswell don't necessarily accept Aztec. And maybe that's one of the final few questions we'll go into, Dennis. Why is it, then, that Aztec tends to be more dismissed?
Well, it hasn't had the publicity, for one thing, that Roswell's had for many years. You haven't had the type researchers involved, I think. Like, well, Stanton was the first original civilian researcher for Roswell, and Schmidt and Carey and David Rudiak, myself. We've had a lot of serious researchers working Roswell, whereas with Aztec, I think Scott probably is going to be... I believe Scott will be the authority on Aztec. I really do. I think he has enough information that he'll present that it's going to give it a lot of validity, and I think it's going to make people look at it twice.
Speaking of northern New Mexico, where do you come down in terms of Dulce? I mean, that's, I think you were up there at the at Norio Hayakawa's inaugural conference, if I remember correctly, and there was quite a collection of researchers that presented there, and we both networked with quite a number of people, including some local Hickory Apache. Where do you come down on the whole Dulce scenario? Because, of course, Dulce is just right down the road from Aztec.
I really don't know about Dulce. I've heard the stories for years, and when we had that meeting, that conference, we all stayed at the Hickory Apache Best Western, the only hotel in town. And there's a lot of money been spent in that little town of Dulce for the Hickory Apache Reservation is headquartered there. And they have some very modernistic schools and buildings and things like that. And then they have this Best Western hotel with a casino in it out in the middle of nowhere. When we had the conference, we had Norio expected 20, 30 people, and we had 130 show up. And we had to move it twice to get into a facility that the fire people would let us use. I got the impression from the Native Americans that if they see something, they pretty much keep it to themselves because they think it's personal. If they see something in the sky, they think that's just for them. And they don't share a whole lot, although some of them that were at the conference did and talked about craft they had seen and things like that. But one of the interesting things that happened was the morning of the conference on a Sunday. It was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, and about 8 o'clock, we heard...
Thump, 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 thump.
Yeah, and there was a black unmarked helicopter hovering over the hotel. I think he was probably looking at license plates of the vehicles in the parking lot. But the Hickory Apache were very upset because they had no idea where the helicopter came from or what its purpose was. They do have one come in for medicals once in a while, but nothing like that. So that got everybody's attention. I talked to one guy who said that it's real, but it's not on the Archuleta Mesa where everybody thinks. It's somewhere else close by. And, of course, they've had a lot of cattle mutilations, which Chris knows about up there in that area. And one of the ranchers, in fact, has had to quit raising cattle because of the mutilations.
And did a good presentation, Manuel Gomez. He was the first real major presenter at the conference. I was actually impressed with his documentation, his command of the case, which goes back to the late 70s. And there's definitely something going on there. And the revelation that Archuleta Mesa is, I think, you could almost consider it potentially as a red herring. As you mentioned, there was some talk about a facility being located 18 miles west of Dulce, in the direction of Aztec, kind of halfway between Dulce and Aztec. And I don't know anybody that's really, pardon the expression, dug into that particular assertion. But so do you feel that there is some sort of facility there, irregardless of whether it's, you know, alien or maybe a joint alien-human facility? Do you have a sense that there is some sort of underground facility there?
I think there is somewhere, and I think Dulce may be the diversionary site for it. I don't know if you've been on the Mesa or not, Chris, but Scott, get back to Scott Ramsey, has been up there several times, and he said that there is a place up there which has got a doorway of some kind that's been gunited or concreted over, and there's some equipment up there that he says is from an old mine, which, with my knowledge of underground bases, that would be an ideal location to start a underground facility because it wouldn't have to do all the drilling. It would already have access to a void in the earth. So I think maybe there's something to it. Phil Schneider's story is of interest to me, but many have tried to disprove that, and I don't know if there's any validity to Schneider's story about the firefight and things like that. New Mexico is just full of stuff that people don't know anything about. You have Los Alamos, Sandia Lab, White Sands, the atomic bombs tested here.
How much of that do you think is related, however, to situations of test weapons and test equipment, test aircraft?
I think most of the aircraft testing is probably up at Area 51 rather than the White Sands or any of the places here in town, here in New Mexico. But, of course, Los Alamos, we don't know what goes on all up there. One of the things I found on the underground basis research that really shocked me was that FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is heavily involved in underground facilities. They started this back years ago as a continuity of government for the president and the Congress and things like that. There's a location in Raven Rock, Pennsylvania that has a complete underground Pentagon for all the military bigwigs. The White House has a facility underneath it where Cheney went during the 9/11 terrorist attack. Bush went to Nebraska. He was down south and got on Air Force One and went to Nebraska and went underground. Raven Rock is a military. Greenbrier used to be for the Congress. That's been exposed, and now they have a new place somewhere I haven't found yet. So there's a lot going on with underground facilities, and it's become necessary because of satellites. You can't do anything above ground anymore because you can read a newspaper from 200 miles up. And I think anything that's secretive is going to either be done inside a hangar or a building or either underground. Thus, the reason for places like Area 51 having 22 levels below ground, one of the bases in California, 40-some levels below ground. White Sands, I know, has 4 levels. It did laser testing on the 4th level. They may have 7 levels. Dulce, they were talking about 7 or 9 levels below ground there. So it's become fairly common, and most countries are following suit. They're doing the same thing, going underground with all their facilities.
So, of course, there are always legitimate reasons why you might have secret bases because of security, national security and all that, but it could also be used as an excuse to cover up other stuff that isn't so simple to explain. Tell our listeners in the last minute or so here, Dennis Balthaser, where our listeners can learn more about the things that you do.
My website, Truthseeker at Roswell, that's all one word, truthseeker@roswell.com. And my email address is on there, and I usually try to, I get 50 to 100 emails a day and delete most of them, but I do try to respond quickly to all emails I get. If anybody,
he responds, by the way, to lots of emails. Mine, he always deletes. Chris's, he answers. You know, they look at my name and they think the name Steinberg is a synonym for spam.
Ah.
And the only spam I know about is that strange meat, that lunch meat from Hormel.
And which was actually devised from evidence from Roswell. We got our recipe for spam.
Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your recipes?
Well, I'm a moderator at forum.theparacast.com. You'll always find me lurking about, and occasionally I might even chime in with some rude comment. But I do have a website, ourstrangeplanet.com, and I want to thank Dennis for being on the show. Dennis, you're a real trooper. It's always a pleasure when we run into each other and compare notes. And, hey, I think you still have something to offer the field. I think you should think twice about, you know, kind of retiring from the field, and I'm glad to hear that you're out and about and doing your keynote speaker and master of ceremonies jobs. You did a great job at Angel Fire, and you know, I applaud your many years and all your efforts.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and you guys one of the best shows on the internet and on the radio, and I really appreciate your in-depth research that you do. I just am in awe of that.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand this.